The Lord be with you.
And with
you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. The shepherds went in haste to Bethlehem and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And once they saw, they understood what had been told them concerning this child. All who heard of it were astonished at the report given by the shepherds. And Mary treasured all of these things and reflected on them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all they had seen in accord with what had been told them. When the eighth day arrived for his circumcision, the name Jesus was given the child, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. The Gospel of the Lord. So, Happy New Year. Did you stay up late?
Yes.
You did, oh. Kind of getting beyond that, really. This stage myself, you know, you can only do that so many years. But you have lots of plans for the new year? Convince me, right? Be nice to have a plan. You know, early on in life, we kind of move without a plan. As we age a little, we really see the value and importance of a plan. And maybe that's just part of the way that he has created us. But how valuable a plan is. And people make New Year's resolutions and they last for a while. And then it takes some real effort to keep it going. And it may or may not make it, right? Our experience. But I look at it in the context of what's really important. This time last year, as we entered into a new year, one of the most important things for us was Christ life. Absolutely. Inviting people to look at their personal relationship with Jesus Christ and what a wonderful experience we had with Christ's life, starting with discovering Christ and then following Christ and then sharing Christ, which we are going to introduce in the fall. But how valuable discovering Christ was for so many people. We had more than 400 people go through that. And certainly that has reflected itself in many ways in our growth as community. What will be the next plan for us in our growth and development? Any thoughts? I threw out the idea to you a few weeks ago in the bulletin. What would be our rules for engagement and picking up our celebration, our Eucharist, so that it really becomes viable and an expression of us? And we are doing better and we're growing in that. But what more should we be doing? And I was thinking about it in the context of the shepherd's journey during the course of the week. You know, those shepherds, they were something else. I mean, traveling all of that distance, the possibility that they could have just given up and said, oh, what the heck, you know? They were certainly significant, making that journey and coming to Jerusalem. And when they begin to inquire and ask the question, where is it? Where is he going to be born? They come to the palace and people say, well, we don't really know. They knew all of the scriptures. They knew where it was prophesied that he would be born. And eventually they tell them and they get on their way again. At that point, they could so easily have said, oh, let's forget it. Let's go back to our work. Because that's one of the easiest things in the world, to just forget it, to just let it be. We live in that world where that is much easier. It takes an effort on our part to really push on through some of the challenges and some of the experiences. And at the beginning of the year, that's pretty important. How am I going to move myself through some of the challenges this year? Looking at the shepherds, they continued to move through myriad challenges that came their way, and they were rewarded because they experienced the Christ. That's not much different to us. We will experience the Christ as well, and that's what it's all about. We spend all of these days celebrating the mystery of the incarnation. A pretty unfathomable mystery to us in our minds, that our God would choose to become one like us. I mean, how do you get your head around that? You couldn't punch that into your computer and it would have real difficulty giving you any kind of reasonable, rational answer. Why our God would choose to become one like us? So that he would love us up close. That's the fundamental answer. Not from a distance, and not direct us from here or here, but that living among us, he would show us exactly what he wanted to communicate, and that was his love for us, and that he would invite us into a personal relationship with him. That's the most critical and fundamental question as I approach a new year. Where am I at in terms of my growth or my development in that relationship with him? How is it going to be different this year? How would I give it a new perception, perspective, a new sense of energy? What about my coming to Eucharist week in, week out? How does that change my relationship with him? For us as Catholics, you ask a Catholic, why do you go to church? If you want to confuse them, right? Why do you go to church? Why do you go to church on a Sunday? Well, I think I kind of go because, hey, my mom and dad made sure I went when I was growing up. You know, it was the in thing and all the folks in the neighborhood, and they would talk about you if you didn't go and all of those important things. You know, there are many reasons, you know, so we marked time and we kind of stamped our card. Not very valuable. And we are reaping the results, really. Look at us. Catholic church, Catholic faith. We're reaping what we have sown in many ways. And we will continue to reap what we sow. Why would we not sow differently? Why would we not invite a new perspective as to why I engage and why I decide to come to Eucharist? You know, looking at some people, you think, my God, are they going to be okay? Really, look around you. I mean, are we really engaged in a relationship with him? It's an integral part of the whole mystery of the incarnation, that God chose to become one like us in all things but sin. That's what we celebrated these past few days. That's why everybody was off work. That's why everybody stops and takes a break and offers gifts to one another. It has got to be the most powerful entity in 2,000 years. Because nothing else in the world has the power to stop everything in its tracks and get people to worship, to acknowledge, to look up, to give gifts, to share, to be engaged. And hey, nothing is more difficult for some people at the same time than the Christmas season because of memories and hardships. But the power of that mystery of the incarnation never ceases in its power to bring people to their knees, to bring people to worship, to bring people to sing and to celebrate. That's got to tell us something. So why do I go to church? Because my mom and dad, or because the church tells me to, or whatever. Hey, we got to grow up. Those are all just purely peripheral reasons. One fundamental reason for going is because he's inviting me. And if I could change my perception to that reality, then it might change my presence and my response and my engagement. This is where he chooses to engage me in life, to speak to me, to celebrate. But if I come expecting nothing to be different, then that's exactly what I will get. If I come anticipating and expecting that it'll be different and engage in such a way, then I promise you it will be different. It's a bit like this. When I continue to work out of obligation and responsibility, I never give my full self to it. When I do things out of obligation or out of because I have to do them, they do not get the best of me. What gets the best of me is what I really choose to be a part of and to engage in. For example, we have a lot of people in the parish. They bring communion to the homebound, right? How many of you here bring communion to the homebound? It's a great ministry. Those people can't come and celebrate Eucharist in the community, so we go to them. Every one of these people who raised their hands, and myself included, would tell you, we think about going and ministering to them, but what happens is they minister to us, right? Right? Absolutely, without exception. Why? Because we really engage these people, and one thing for sure, they want to be engaged, and it's not about tablets and phones and electronics and all that. It's a personal encounter with them. Sitting and visiting with them and beginning to understand their sickness and their ailment and what happens, absolutely and totally without fail, the people who are going are the ones that are ministered to, and they come back saying, like the disciples, man, I went to minister to them. They turned up ministering to me. You know why? Because the attitude is right. I'm not going, if we send people out and said, Ted, you got to go and bring communion to this woman, we might get the job done, but we're not going to accomplish the grace that unfolds in that. We only accomplish that when people freely choose to be engaged. Likewise in Eucharist. Do you ever go home from Eucharist exhausted? Man, I do. Takes a lot of effort and energy to, you know, really move it along. Now, you can become exhausted by just not engaging, period, right? That's a possibility, but we should be going home pretty exhausted because we've engaged in the mystery that we are proclaiming in faith. Look at what St. Paul says in that beautiful second reading in writing to the Galatians today. He says, brothers and sisters, when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to ransom those under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons and daughters. As proof that you are sons and daughters, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son and a daughter. And if a son or daughter, then also an heir. Man, that's a lot of theology. That is a proclamation of the central mystery of the incarnation, that our God chose to become one like us. He wants to have a relationship with us. And what forum or what kind of a platform do we give him for that? One of the fundamental platforms is here, but that won't get it all unless I am celebrating with him and communicating with him. And the heart of the message is he wants to journey with us. If you go on a journey with somebody, let's say you go from here to San Antonio with somebody, what are some of the things you'd like to have in order before heading out? You'd like to have a relationship, right? No? Man, God bless you if you don't. Man, I would. If you're going to sit in and spend time with somebody and make a journey, you better enjoy the person and enjoy the relationship. You better have a plan for communicating so that you stop in appropriate places, so that you eat, and hey, it's good to be having somebody that you'll converse with. Now, Jesus wants to journey with us in that way, so there are some basic and fundamental things involved. What kind of opportunity do I give him to communicate with me apart from Mass? Apart from meeting my obligation. I think one of the telltale lines in the gospel today, it could go by almost unnoticed, it says. And when the 8th day had arrived, they brought him for the circumcision, and the name was given him that had been given to him before by the angel, before he was conceived, the name Jesus. Name Jesus, what does it mean? It means the one who saves. We'll see it coming up. Those of you that are studying St. Matthew's Gospel at the present time, there are 30 groups studying the Gospel at this point. And we will follow the Gospel of Matthew throughout this year. Be attentive to this reality. Jesus, the one who saves, comes up again and again and again. The one who calls out, the one who says, come with me, come with me, come with me, be with me, all who follow me. It's a constant invitation to come to experience his saving power. How do I allow myself to be available to that? In St. Matthew, there is another additional piece that is very important. St. Matthew, rather than Luke, moves from the theme of Jesus the Savior to the one that he proclaims in the early birth narrative. His name is Emmanuel. Emmanuel, it means what? God with us. How important that is as a truth, that our God is with us. It was manifest 2,000 years ago, but it is manifest every time we do this in memory of him. It is manifest every time we trust it and ask him. One of the difficulties that we have and that we've grown up with as Catholics is we think of God as being there somewhere or there somewhere. No, it's right here. Emmanuel, our God is with us through all of our struggles and difficulties and obstacles, not necessarily changing them as we want him to change us. And it's sort of like we say, God, would you flip those divine fingers and make this happen? That's not our God. Our God is the one who chooses to journey with us. It's about a journey, and this is an integral part of the journey. You know, where you stop for gas, you know, and you become engaged, and you don't stop for gas, hopefully, and just ignore everybody around you. Hopefully, you're engaged, and you're from Mississippi, and you let them know when you're traveling out here and here. Likewise, when we come to church, how different it would be. What a nice perspective it would be for us. Our God, the one who journeys with us, not who sits up here or here and directs from afar, our God, who manifested him in love, right up close, not from a distance. So when we change our perception of him, then I think we will change the reality, and then we will change the proclamation of our faith. Our young people are looking to us as older adults for that witness and that testimony. How well are we doing? Maybe this year we will change our perceptions about being a Eucharistic people and let people see that I'm really working at believing what I am professing in faith. And those of you that did not have the opportunity to move through discovering Christ, I invite you to really choose that as a great option for your personal growth and development. And soon we will all be there, and we will all be understanding more effectively. I'm not coming to church because I have to, or because of some obligation through my parents or the church or anybody else. That is all basic, low fundamental effort. I'm coming because I know him and he wants to engage me here and he wants me to have life in him as I make my journey.